Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and with me today is Philip Setzer. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Founder, one of the founders, was it you or were there two of you who founded the Emerson String Quartet?
We found them. Yeah. they were walking along in the days and we found them. Yes, Gene Drucker and I met at Juilliard many, many years ago, over 40 years ago now, as students of Oskar Szemski. And we decided to play in a student quartet together, and that was really the beginning of what became the Emerson.
Which has now officially, 35, 36 years to its credit.
Yeah.
And how many is it? 9 Grammys?
I believe that's correct.
Yep. 9 Grammys for ranging from all the way back to 1989 when you got Bartok 6 String Quartets won a Grammy, and then up through 2009 for Intimate Letters, which was the successor to Intimate Voices. Intimate Voices, that's Smetana?
Correct, yes.
And the Intimate Letters refers to
Janáček. It's Janáček's second quartet. Yeah.
Czech composer. And so you're still with Emerson, I trust?
Well, as far as I know.
Yes. Look, check the internet.
Yes, right, exactly.
And so what are in the works for the quartet?
Well, this last week has been a very busy time. It was just announced last week that David Finkel will be leaving the quartet after the summer of 2013. So that's major news, and we knew about it for a few months, but we were waiting till we had a replacement and set up. And we're very happy that Paul Watkins, the British cellist, will be joining us. It really was our first choice, first person we talked to, and we're thrilled that he's going to join us and sad that David's leaving.
How do you do that? I gather it's not just by auditions, as it sounds, you know, in which case you'd have hundreds of people applying, if not thousands.
Yeah, well, we didn't, fortunately, because Paul accepted, I mean, he was really the only person we spoke to, we didn't have to go through that sort of horrendous process. But both Larry Dutton and I had played with Paul in summer festivals, and Larry had played some concerts with Menachem Pressler and Paul, and we both just loved his playing and just hit it off with him in a great way. So when this came up, and both Larry and I looked at each other and said, "You don't think Paul would do it to you?" I was like, "Nah, he lives in London, you know, there's no way." But fortunately, he is going to do it.
Well, think of those frequent flyer miles.
No, he's going to move to New York.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
wow, okay.
Yeah. So it wouldn't work doing it that way.
I wonder.
It's a big life change for him. But his wife is Jamie Laredo's daughter, and she's been wanting to come back to New York, and so Jamie and Sharon Robinson, who's a cellist, of course, are thrilled that they'll have family closer to them. So
you're on the road now, though, but not with a string quartet, with a piano trio,
right?
Do you actually have a name for your
no
trio?
We don't. That's funny. No, and we keep talking about it, but then we keep just saying, well, we seem to be doing fine, let's just leave it the way it is. Well, speaking of David Finkel and his wife Wuhan and I have played trios for many years just on the side of the quartet, very seriously, but of course there isn't that much time to do it. So it's always special for us when we find a week here or there to come and play some concerts. And David will continue to play in the trios. So I'm happy about that. It would be sad if I weren't going to get to play with him anymore. So
is this trio? I should mention before time gets away that you're playing tonight at the Wisconsin Union Theater in Madison.
Yes,
tonight at 7:30, and there's Mendelssohn on the program.
It's all Mendelssohn. David Wuhan opened with the second cello sonata, and then we do the two piano trios of Mendelssohn.
And Mendelssohn's brother Paul was a cellist, and I think
yes.
He probably wrote that sonata for him, didn't he?
I think that's true, yes.
Well, you have recorded, as a trio, an ample dose of Schubert.
We have, and also the Mendelssohn, actually. We just that's just come out, which you'll have here at the station soon, but not today.
It'd be much easier to play that way.
Right.
But in the meantime, we'll hear the Scherzo, the third of the four movements of Schubert's piano trio in B-flat, in a performance that features cellist David Finkel, pianist Wuhan, and my guest today, violinist Philip Setzer. Thank you. Poor Schubert, you know, so underappreciated in his lifetime, yeah. except as a songwriter.
I know.
Stuff like this, and so people knew about it while he was alive.
He wrote so many pieces in the last year of his life and couldn't get any of them published, including these two piano trios.
That was the third movement, the Scherzo, from the piano trio in B-flat, opus 99 of Schubert, as played by pianist Wu Han and cellist David Finkel, and my guest today, Philip Setzer, who is the violinist, and that's from a set of two Schubert piano trios on one of their... Actually, as a piano trio, it's your latest release.
The Mendelssohns actually are the...
The Mendelssohn we don't even...
Just came out, yeah.
We don't even have
yet. We don't have yet. That's so recent, yeah.
We will a little later be sampling your latest CD from the Emerson Quartet, mm-hmm. though, and Philip Setzer is one of the founding members of that now 35-year-old quartet, and we'll hear more about that shortly here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Back with violinist Philip Setzer, and we'll get onto the topic of another of your Grammy award-winning projects. And I say project because this is not just a CD. This is all 15 of the Shostakovich string quartets.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it was a 3-year project, actually, and we recorded these live at the Aspen Festival over 3 summers.
If you look at all 15 of those quartets, is there any kind of arc or connection, or is it just a collection?
No, it's definitely, for me, the Bartok and Shostakovich quartets are like autobiographies. I mean, it goes from the very early part of Shostakovich's life up right till the end, and through the Second World War, through the Stalin years, obviously, but also through the years when his music was not being allowed to be heard in Russia, and later years that after he joined the Communist Party and then realized he had made a mistake, this sort of suicidal years, and then leading into his last years, which he was so ill. And the last quartet is really kind of a requiem, you know, that he wrote because nobody else would.
So they span a number of years.
Yes, from the 30s right through till the mid 70s.
Well, the third one then gets us about 20% of the way through Shostakovich's career. And
this is one of the war. It's right after the Second World War, and the movement that we're going to hear. I wouldn't even call it a scherzo, because the word scherzo means joke, and there's nothing funny about this movement unless you think being in the middle of a battle is funny. It's a terrifyingly exciting movement that is similar to some of the war movements battle movements you hear in the symphonies.
And you recorded this live at the Aspen Music Festival.
We did. We had two performances, one for faculty, staff, and students, and then one for the public, and we put together if something really went wrong in one of the performances. Hopefully lightning didn't strike twice. So.
I was going to ask about that. Got to be particularly daunting.
Well, there are some imperfections.
Well, I mean, there are various kinds of imperfections. Beethoven liked to say that don't worry about getting every note right, get the feeling.
Yeah, well, I hope this has the right feeling.
Third movement from the third string quartet of Shostakovich, as played by the Emerson String Quartet. Definitely a meaty movement.
Yes.
There, you would have to say. Do you know, Philip, what did Shostakovich have in mind for, you know, the audience for his string quartets? We're obviously way past the era of the benefactor and the drawing room and all of that, but were they designed for a concert hall or what?
Well, they were definitely designed for a concert hall, and I think one of the things for me that makes the quartets so powerful and so meaningful is the fact that his bigger pieces were really under scrutiny by the government and by Stalin himself, and they were terrified he was going to write another opera or when the next symphony was going to come out. And in the meantime, he was very close friends with the Beethoven Quartet, and they would perform. He wrote these pieces for them to perform, and there was a very knowledgeable audience that would come, and not so many of the government hierarchy would be there. And he managed to be even more truthful in his quartets than he could be maybe in all of his bigger pieces.
Is a piece like that, I think of a violin that's maybe 250 or 300 years old, mm-hmm. and it's almost hard for me to imagine how it could get through something like that without damage.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to necessarily play it carefully, but it's a lot of practice sort of starting very slow and being careful that when you're hitting the string, you're actually, not hitting the corner of the violin or anybody around you.
Well, let's go down toward our quiz question with something that I guess you could describe safely as more genteel. And that is this then is your latest Emerson recording?
Yes.
The Mozart?
Yes. This is our first recording with Sony. And we're very excited to be with Sony. And we have recorded the last three Mozart string quartets, the so-called King of Prussia. He was commissioned by the King of Prussia, who was a cellist, an amateur cellist, to write a set of six quartets. Mozart wrote three and seems to have had some sort of falling out with the King of Prussia and unfortunately stopped after three. But these three beautiful, perfectly crafted pieces do exist, and they're called the cello quartets because there's a big part for the cello. I guess he was trying to please the King of Prussia, and so you have two thirds of the trio you hear tonight are playing the solos on this. I'm playing first violin in this slow movement, and David Finkel, the cellist of the trio, is also the cellist of the quartet playing the cello solos.
And this is the Andante from Mozart's String Quartet in D, Kerschel 575, as performed recently by the Emerson Quartet. Andante, second movement from Mozart's String Quartet in D, Kerschel 575, one of the Prussian quartets, the latest recording of the long-lived Emerson String Quartet. And it's just about time to get to the quiz question, so I suppose we should do that. And then another word or two with my guest today before he takes off and flings himself back into a busy schedule.
Closing practices for tonight.
Well, yeah, that would be a plan, wouldn't it? Well, on your way out, Philip, a gloss or two about the finale of this Brahms clarinet quintet.
Well, the Brahms had retired from composing and then heard the clarinet or heard a particular clarinetist and fell in love with the instrument, decided to compose some pieces for it. So he wrote the clarinet trio for clarinet, cello, and piano, and this one of his last works, the clarinet quintet, and I think it's quite autobiographical, as we were talking about with Shostakovich. You see scenes of his life as he remembers them, and it has all of the pathos and sweet, painful feelings of memories. And at the end, it's very tragic. I think he kind of writes his own death into this piece.
Maybe we should pick something else.
Well, it's beautiful, though. It's so beautiful.
The finale from the Brahms Clarinet Quintet in B minor with David Schifrin, the clarinetist, and Emerson String Quartet. And Philip Setzer is performing tonight with cellist David Finkel, pianist Wu Han, at the Wisconsin Union Theater, 7:30 tonight, in an all Mendelssohn program.
I'll be there.
We'll look forward to that. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.